here at the Salute to Heroes Tournament, Aloma Santa Fe Country Club in Solana Beach. We got here, it was very dark. Now, bustling activity as they get ready for the celebs and golfers to come join us this morning. We appreciate them hosting us today. We don't get out and about a ton, Paulie.
No, we
but
don't.
But it's fun to get out of the studio every once in a while, even though it comes with a lot of hassles, mostly for you,
yes.
Having to set everything up and the equipment. But once we're out here and it's...
It's funny, we do it nice. Like the first part of our year is a lot of this. There's fantasy camp, there's spring training a month after that, there's the opening day broadcasts.
Yep.
So I kind of get like some work, some reps on setting up all of this technical equipment, and then we don't really do anything for like months after that. And then, you know, a couple months from now, we'll probably, hopefully, have some playoff broadcasts, maybe set up downtown or something like that. And so you kind of do it again. But, yeah, today I was like, all right, what plugs into this? Okay, how does this work again? But I think we got it.
Did a good job. Got us on the air. Appreciate Craig Elston joining us in our last segment. Good Padres talk. Everyone always loves hearing from Craig. And he also, of course, will give us some Crossing Streams recommendations. You can check out that podcast
for
your streaming. But one of the big streamers that dropped over the weekend on Netflix, of course, Happy Gilmore 2. Now, I did not get a chance to watch Happy Gilmore 2, but since we're sitting out here at a golf course, I understand you did.
Yeah,
get to watch Happy Gilmore 2.
Watched it on Friday night when it came out after the Padres game. And, you know, I won't get into, like, spoilers or anything like that.
For Happy Gilmore 2.
There's really nothing to spoil.
Does Happy die?
Right.
I hope not.
There's nothing really to spoil, but I get, you know, it came out like 3 days ago. I'll give everybody a chance. I think the reviews for it were pretty much, the ones that I saw were pretty spot on. Like, if you expected anything other than a pretty bad movie, at least like plot wise and everything like that, then that's on you. I don't really know what to tell you. I went into it with no expectations, kind of just a little bit surprised that we even got Happy Gilmore 2 like 30 years later. It just didn't seem like that was going to be something that we needed or we're ever going to get. I will say there were a ridiculous amount of celebrity cameo appearances throughout the movie, like from fairly notable roles, like Bad Bunny plays Happy's caddy and his buddy. And I'll say this, spoiler alert or not, Bad Bunny steals the show. He was outstanding. He was really, really funny, I thought.
Perhaps an Oscar nomination
incoming for Bad Bunny? Probably not, but I guess maybe.
Now, I'd also assume that these cameos include people playing themselves. Now,
yes. Well, like Bryson DeChambeau played Bryson DeChambeau. All the golfers played themselves. Everybody played themselves. But, like, he walked into, like, check-in somewhere, and Kelsey Plum was working the front desk. Like, there were cameos galore.
The one that I'm curious about, and I don't want to spoil it, but I think that you can reveal yes or no on this question. Did they get Drew Carey as the host of Price is Right to come back after Bob Barker played such a critical role in the first movie?
They did not.
No Drew Carey.
There were a lot of throwbacks to the original.
Well, of course. That's
now,
all people are here to see.
Right. Now, I will say, the only thing that if I was critiquing the movie was that when they referenced something that happened, some iconic moment from the first movie, they actually showed the clip, like a flashback. And I don't think that that was fully necessary.
Well, because there's not going to be very many people who are like, yeah, I never saw Happy Gilmore, but I'm going to just go ahead and jump in
right.
Happy
like,
Gilmore
I literally, too. I said to Megan as we're watching it, I'm like, you don't have to show us the clip. We know what happened. We're watching Happy Gilmore 2 because we grew up with Happy Gilmore 1.
I've got to imagine that 99.9% of people who watch Happy Gilmore 2 will have watched Happy Gilmore 1. I mean, yes, one or two people will be dragged along going, I never saw the first movie. I don't want to be here. Okay, fine. I'm sitting here. You don't have to make a movie for those people.
Like, one funny here's an example of what we're talking about with the flashbacks. Like, you remember in the first movie, he had the caddy, the kid, just show up, and he was like, hey, buddy, you're my caddy today. And he missed a putt. He was choking the kid out on the green. Well, he sees that kid again because he shows up, Happy shows up to the tournament, and he doesn't have a caddy. And he sees that kid who's now 30 years older, and he goes, hey, buddy, I need a caddy. Like, do you want to run it back for old time's sake? And then they show him, like, choking him out. And I'm like, again, you didn't need to show that. We all know what you're referencing. The funny part, though, that kid has grown up to be Will Zalatoris. He goes, actually, Mr. Gilmore, I'm playing against you. We're in the same group. We're actually playing today. And it was Will Zalatoris. Like, Spieth was in there, Justin Thomas, Bryson. I thought everybody was great. Again, if you were, like, expecting some Oscar-worthy, like, plot and all of that, this wasn't for you. This was not what that was. They did a good job. Like, ultimately, I never, like, even once thought, I'm going to turn this off. It was dumb, but it was funny, and it was entertaining, I thought. It made me laugh most of the time, and the cameos were like, all right, who's coming next? Like, who's going to be, the guy that was like, you suck, you jackass? Well, he's no longer with us, so who's going to be his son, or who's going to take that role? And you're, like, sitting there waiting, and I thought it was a really funny reveal who played that guy's son.
If you turn on Happy Gilmore 2 expecting some sort of groundbreaking comedic masterpiece of a movie, that's on you. There's never been a sequel of a slapstick funny movie that's ever been better than the first.
Now, here's what
you're
I
just
loved.
Hoping it's not Caddyshack 2. Right. You're just hoping it's right. Horribly worse. If it's like 40% as good as the original, that's like a win,
yeah,
honestly,
exactly.
For the sequel of a comedy movie.
Well, I think about, like, Top Gun 2. Like, some of the cheesy stuff, like, you know, talk to me, Dad. Like, you needed that. You wanted that.
You were expecting that. Yes.
Exactly. And what I liked about Happy Gilmore 2, plot-wise, was that the whole setup was there's this up-and-coming new golf league that's going to make golf more fun. Sound familiar, Ben?
Kind of live, yeah. All right.
It was more like the Tigers League, the TGL. It was more like that, but it was definitely live is what they were going for. There's like billboards, and they're trying to make the game interesting, and it was like, you know, visual effects and all that. So rather than having it just be like Happy Gilmore versus Shooter McGavin on the seniors tour, two rivals fighting one another, they actually are teaming up and going PGA versus LIV, essentially. And I thought that was a fun way to put it, because it would be too easy to just have Happy versus Shooter McGavin.
All right, they did more than just the bare minimum. A sequel that is there just to cash a paycheck and do the bare minimum, bring back the stars, throw them in the exact same situation again. You're just wasting your time and your money. At least they did more than the bare minimum, Paulie says,
exactly,
to try to entertain and give them an enjoyable a couple of hours. Now, I did hear one story about Happy Gilmore 2 while I was actually watching, listening some golf coverage over the weekend. Apparently, Adam Sandler got on the set and, of course, was going to need to do the famous Happy Gilmore golf hockey swing that he does. And he gave it a couple tries. Being Sandler in his 60s now.
Easily.
He was, let's just say, it wasn't really working that well for him. I said, I'm not going to be able to do this.
He's 58.
58. All right. He said, I'm not going to be able to do this multiple times every day. I don't have the physical capability of doing it.
Tear a muscle.
So, I don't know if you remember, like 90s PGA Tour golfer Hunter Mahan was brought in as a similarly aged stand-in, and they had to put on the beat. Like, every day he'd have to go through makeup so they could make him look like it, and then obviously they wouldn't shoot him right face on.
Right.
But he was the double who actually performed a lot of the Happy Gilmore swings for him, because Adam Sandler is no longer able at age 58 to quite manage it the way he could as a much younger comedian.
Okay, I saw a story about that in Hunter Mahan, so that makes a lot more sense now. I can see that happening. They're all getting up there in age, man. But I thought it was a good blend of, you know, the current landscape of golf, having all of the golfers in on it and playing parts, and then you had a bunch of other celebrity cameos. Like I said, you know, Bad Bunny, Travis Kelce is part of it. I thought it was fine. And like I said, I watched the whole thing. I didn't turn it off, and I was pretty mildly amused most of the time. It was good.
All right, I've got a couple of personal milestones I want to recognize here before I go any further. Happy birthday to my sister, Maggie.
Happy birthday, Maggie.
And then happy anniversary yesterday to my parents.
Wow.
51 years
51.
I believe that I'm correct about that. Got married in 1974.
Wow.
I came along 1 year later in 1975, and they've been married. That's pretty incredible,
that's a long,
isn't it?
Long,
I mean, think about that. I mean,
time.
How long have you and Megan now been married?
Five
years.
And a half, yeah.
So multiply that by 10,
yeah.
and get to 51 years together.
Wow.
So that's definitely a milestone worth recognizing.
Happy anniversary to them. And since we're doing shout-outs and milestones, it was my mother's birthday on Saturday, so I got to spend some time on the phone with her. Me and Megan gave her a call, and she's doing well. And, yeah, hard to believe she's in her 60s. But, man, happy birthday, Mom. I'm sure she's watching right now.
I was just texting with my mom. They did it upright. They went to a Steak 48 for dinner.
Ooh.
She said she's still full.
Still full.
From their anniversary dinner.
That's when you know it's
I know
good.
They're listening this morning, so I wanted to wish them the best. All right, we're going to get into, obviously, much more Padres talk. Dennis Lynn, our Lynn-sider from The Athletic, if he's got anything new on the trade deadline coming up this Thursday, he will share it with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Also want to look ahead to the series against the New York Mets. Padres just get right back at it tonight. They get home, but no days off, as they will host the New York Mets tonight with Dylan Cease on the mound. So we'll talk about that coming up as well. But in our next segment, no Woods today, so we're going to play a little real or fake. Chance to qualify for our getaway to Las Vegas. Still have some tickets to Motley Crue, two nights at the Park MGM, and a $100 gas card. If you'd like to be our contestant, you can call Adam back in the studio right now, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973, and we'll play a little real or fake when we come back. We did have a couple of trade deadline moves over the weekend. All of our trade deadline coverage here on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Palomar Health, champions of healthcare, champions for you. Now, on Friday, we had already heard about the Josh Naylor to the Seattle Mariners deal. We talked about that a little bit. Over the weekend, the Yankees were the most active team. I think it was just after the show sometime on Friday that it was announced that the Yankees had acquired Ryan McMahon, third baseman, in a trade from the Colorado Rockies.
Good. Get him out of National League West.
I had the exact same thought. Like, okay, I know Ryan McMahon's not a world beater, but he does seem to, I mean, he's not quite Charlie Blackman-esque in terms of how much
right.
he tortured the Padres.
He's the new Charlie Blackman.
You know, he's a guy that you don't have to face anymore, at least the rest of this season, in the NL West. And the Yankees also picked up Amed Rosario, utility man, from the Washington Nationals. Now, I think they're still looking for pitching, some more depth. I don't know if the Yankees are done or not. The big question is, who is going to pick up Eugenio Suarez, who seems like he's the prize bat in the trade deadline sweepstakes?
Yeah,
have not
I
heard
agree.
The Padres connected. Obviously, position-wise, it's not a great fit for the Padres. They're looking more for a left fielder or a catcher, but I mean, you could put him a designated hitter. It wouldn't be the worst thing. I think the price tag ultimately is going to be pretty high, though. And I don't expect the Padres to be part of the Eugenio Suarez
sweepstakes. I just don't want him to go up north.
But it's still pretty quiet. I mean, Randall Grichuk went to the Royals from the Arizona Diamondbacks as well. So the Diamondbacks, who lost a couple of games over the weekend, they're in full sell mode. A team that I really was probably most concerned about when we started the season, like, is a wild card contender coming out of the National League West, you know, to battle with the Padres, just has not gone well for them. Injuries, and they are now like 4 or 5 games under 500 and are full off in the sell mode. So Padres still have, I think, 6 or 7 more games. I think 6 more games against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now they're missing, you know, some of their key players and will probably trade away Eugenio Suarez as well. So got the Rockies and the Diamondbacks, who are sell bad.
Yep.
That's another 13 or 14 more games that the Padres have out of the remaining schedule against two teams that are pretty much, okay, it's, you know, let you go now for the rest of the season. That's pretty important, actually,
yeah,
in the wild card race.
If they have 14 games, all of a sudden you're like, you got to win 9 of those? Like,
yeah,
10
mean,
of those?
Know, like, yeah, 10.
Those
yeah.
are going to be winnable ball games
absolutely.
That you absolutely need to take advantage of.
And the Padres only have 50 some odd games left. So
yeah,
we're talking
that's
about
a significant
we're
portion.
Talking about, you know, 20 to 25% of their remaining
then
schedule.
Then you mix in that 10 game stretch with the Giants and the
yeah,
Dodgers.
You got a White Sox series. I mean, the Padres still have some games against bottom of the barrel teams, and they have performed well this season against those teams.
Yep,
so
yep.
there's a chance to beef up your record a little bit against now non-playoff, you know, contenders the rest of the season. Yeah, they will play the Dodgers and Giants, and those will be big, but hopefully you build up your record against the other teams, and then you have a chance with only, you know, they're only four games behind the Dodgers. You play well over that two-week stretch. You pick up a bat. You get hot. You know, NL West is still in play for the San Diego Padres as well.
Well, that's going to make this week's series between the Dodgers and the Reds very interesting for Padres fans. Alliances
fall? I know earlier I said you should be cheering for the Dodgers to beat the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yes.
And, of course, they didn't win a single one of those games. Probably because I said you should be cheering for the Dodgers to win. So guess what? I'm gonna say it again. You should be cheering for the Dodgers to beat the Cincinnati Reds, who are one game ahead of the Padres in the wild card race. Now, if they do the same thing and the Reds sweep the Dodgers and the Padres can, you know, have a good homestand, who knows? By next week, the Padres could be within a game or so of first place in the NL West.
Right.
So really, it only matters what the Padres do.
They're not out of it enough where I think you root for the Dodgers.
If the Padres play well,
want them to
and
lose.
We'll preview this upcoming homestand, Mets and the Cardinals coming to town. If they play well this week at home, Padres will gain ground in the division and or the wild card race. If they don't, they will lose ground in the division and or the wild card race.
God, what a big week.
We'll talk about it more coming up in our 9 o'clock hour and with Dennis Lynn. But right now, it is time to play Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
Yeah, you can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
I will tell our contestant, Rioni, that he has a chance to qualify for our grand prize drawing. It is two nights at the Park MGM in Las Vegas, two tickets to Motley Crue on September 19th, and a $100 gas card. You can catch Motley Crue's Las Vegas residency at Dolby Live at Park MGM, September 12th through October 3rd. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. I will also remind you that Take on Woods / Real or Fake is brought to you by Bail Arm, security and fire alarms for every business. We got you. We got Rioni on the line. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right. So here are the rules for Real or Fake. I'll give you the category, and if you can separate Real or Fake 4 out of 7 times, you will qualify for our grand prize. And Paulie can be your phone-a-friend because he doesn't know the answers this time.
This is weird. I usually have them on.
Yes,
I have no idea.
All right, so we are out here at a celebrity golf tournament. Celebrity golf tournaments make me think of celebrity television shows and athletes. So that's where we're going today on Real or Fake. And I'm going to thank Tier 1 Dexter for his research again on this one. I'm going to name a famous NFL player, Paulie, and okay. Rioni. You tell me if they are a real winner of ABC's Dancing with the Stars or a fake I've thrown in to fool you. So either they won it or they were probably never on it.
Okay.
All right, Rioni, you got it? Here we go. Round number one. Fake Dancing with the Stars champion. Jacoby Jones, real or fake Dancing with the Stars champion.
I think I remember him actually being on there, but okay. I can tell you I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, so Paulie, help me out here.
So I'm kind of with you. I'm not sure I'm a ton of help here. It does sound familiar, though, and he was either on it and won it, or it's not like he was on it, but he didn't win, and that doesn't count. So I'm going to say yes. I think let's go real.
You're going real? Is that your final answer, Rioni?
That's my final answer. Let's do it.
Real. Adam? It is real.
Yeah, if you think Jones he was in there, win. Then go with real.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Go with your hunch. All right, that's one. You need three more. Round number two. Real or fake Dancing with the Stars champion, Rashad Jennings. Real or fake? Rashad Jennings.
I want to say fake with my hunch. Paulie, you agree?
Yeah, let's go with fake.
Fake? Adam?
Oh, no.
Rashad Jennings, a fairly recent champion of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah,
all right, we're 1-1. It's all right, let's go to round number three. Emmitt Smith, real or fake Dancing with the Stars champion?
I think Emmitt Smith. Let's go. I'm going to say he might have won. Paul, you agree with winning?
I think that was also real. I think that sounds
real. Rioni
familiar.
Doesn't sound too sure of himself. What's your answer, Rioni?
Let's say it's real.
Real. It is real. All right. We are 2 out of 3. All right. Let's go to round number 4. Real or fake? Dancing with the Stars champion, Donald Driver. Real or fake? Donald Driver. Real or fake?
Donald Driver. Have we done all four of these answers been real so far?
The first three were all real, yes.
Okay. Let's
doesn't necessarily
see.
Mean anything. I don't know. All I said was Donald
like
Driver.
Football players everything usually is win when they're on Dancing with the Stars.
I'm just saying.
Let's stay real.
You're staying real. It is real again. All right, that's 3. You're just one away from a win. All right, let's go to round number 5. Hines Ward, real or fake, Dancing with the Stars champion. Hines Ward.
Hines Ward. I want to say fake. Pauly, you agree?
Man.
This is tough, man. I don't want Dancing with the Stars. Make the hard.
Don't worry. You got 3 more chances. Let's give me an answer.
I think real, honestly. I think I feel like I saw him.
Rioni, what do you think?
Let's go real. I'm going to stick with Paul.
Oh, you went with Pauly. Oh.
I went with Paul.
Well, you were smart because it is real.
Yes.
That is a win for Rioni. Yeah, those are all real. I gave
you
5.
Thank you, Paul.
Dancing with the Stars champions. Paul. I never even got to my fakes. Fake.
I would have said, I don't think.
And Isaac Bruce.
I would have probably said real.
Real
on that one?
Yeah. No, that was fake. Congratulations, Rioni. You have qualified for our grand prize trip to Las Vegas. Adam will get your information here coming up. And thank you for playing a little real or fake. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back, and we will be joined by our Linsider, Padres Linsider Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. He's going to join us coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Weird. We were just talking about Charlie Blackman, and then that song comes on to bring us back from a break. We're back. It is Ben and Paul out on remote today. We're at the Salute to Heroes golf tournament up in Solana Beach at Loma Santa Fe Country Club. But we will have our Linsider, Dennis Lynn, going to join us from The Athletic here. We'll get right to Dennis after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Happy Monday, Padres fans. It's time to discuss the weekend that was for the Padres with our Ben and Woods Linsider, Dennis Lynn from The Athletic. Brought to you by the all-new Hamul Casino Resort, the Players' Place. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks, it gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the Players' Place.
Hey, we welcome Dennis Lynn into the program. Always appreciate his weekly visits on a Monday morning. How was your weekend, Dennis?
Hi, Ben. It was eventful. It was an eventful road trip. A little under the weather on the road trip. I'm feeling better now, but I still lost my voice a little bit.
In that heat? Ugh.
Yeah, there are other places I would rather be in late July, especially right before the trade deadline. But hey, back in San Diego, so I'm excited about that.
Let me ask you something first, just in your role as a Padres beat writer covering the team for The Athletic. Is this a difficult team to cover? Not because the players or Mike Schilt or anything are difficult, but difficult in that every time you think you kind of see a trend. Because you wrote in a row, and like they're on dangerous footing here. They could turn themselves from buyers into sellers, and then it turns around. But then they play well for a while, and you look like, okay, these look like contenders, and then all of a sudden, they kind of slow down a little bit offensively. They're a very hard team to kind of draw any really big conclusions about, I would say.
Yeah, I'll agree. I will say, in my defense, not that anyone cares. I don't believe I wrote that they would ever turn into sellers. I just said, you know, it is dangerous territory because this is a team that looks potentially, you know, fatally flawed. But, yeah, they're definitely going to add either way. But, yeah, it's always interesting with the Padres. They've kind of lived on a knife's edge all season, and that's happened in past seasons too. But, you know, one thing, AJ Preller is going to try to deal his way out of a tough spot. And I'm not saying it's a tough spot right now because they're in a wild card position still. They've got a 1-game lead over the Reds. But, you know, this time of year, you kind of have to react to everything. And you know, every little trend is worth diving into, I would say.
And that is fair. You said there's no scenario that would transfer them into a full-blown seller. I agreed with that. But I do think these last couple of wins were particularly critical, not just for the Padres, but they may have knocked the Cardinals into full-blown seller territory, which essentially, you know, eliminates one of the remaining few contenders for those last playoff spots in the National League.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think there is some Padres interest in some of these Cardinals trade candidates. We'll see. They have interest in every team's trade candidates. I think we've all gathered that with A.J. Preller over the years. But yeah, those, I will agree, those last two wins especially were very, very, very critical. And it's in a good way, because if you remember in 23, they won a series. I think they swept the Rangers, and they're still under 500. And then that kind of convinced them to maybe not trade Josh Hader, maybe not trade Blake Snell. Although, from what I understand, that the offers for Snell especially were not compelling back then. But yeah, if you're on the positive side of 500 and, you know, you win a couple games at the trade deadline, that can be a really huge, you know, momentum boost. Say, hey, okay, we should go out and do some things. And I think, you know, Preller is already thinking that way. So we will see what the next few days brings, but I'm expecting at least one splashy transaction.
You mentioned the Cardinals. I really didn't think of them as a trade partner. Obviously, everyone's kind of interested in Ryan Helsley. Padres could add to a strength in the bullpen, but who might be available that A.J. Preller is kicking the tires on if they are dealing?
Yeah, that's one, Helsley, although I don't think the Padres need to spring for another closure at this point, although there's something that, again, with Preller, you can never rule it out, is something, you know, surprising. You know, they have other guys in the bullpen. Old friend Phil Maton's probably going to get dealt. Jojo Romero is lefty, who looks really intriguing, has, you know, some additional control beyond this year. So that's a guy I think might be on the Padres' radar. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Padres are open to, you know, adding at any number of areas right now. You know, bullpen, you just mentioned rotation. Obviously, left field and catcher, or just, you know, deepening the lineup in general. It doesn't have to be, you know, left field. It can be more of a first base, second base, DH type. But, you know, bottom line is they need to get, you know, more depth to this lineup. And I think it was promising to see what the offense did yesterday in St. Louis. But at the same time, you know, that's not something that's happened frequently enough. So they just want to increase their odds of, you know, just having a deeper lineup that can produce more consistently.
I think, Jojo Romero was kind of an interesting name you just brought up, because obviously Adrian Morejon, and you wrote about Adrian Morejon this weekend, and you know, how critical he has been for the Padres. He's so valuable. But after that, on the left-handed side out of the bullpen, it's either Wandy or Yuki. And I think Mike Schilt has some trust in Wandy Peralta. I don't know how much there is in Yuki. Feels like that second left-handed reliever, Dennis, could be something that might be an important point for A.J. Preller this week.
Yeah, and even beyond that, I think there is a chance that Robert Suarez and or Dylan Cease are, you know, could be on their way out, you know, this week. Being, you know, expiring contracts, I know Robert technically is an expiring contract, but he has a pair of player options he has to decide on after the World Series. And general expectation around the industry is that he's going to opt out and test free agency. He recently hired a new agent. So that's a guy they're considering offers for and listening on, although I think the relief market seems like it's moving still pretty slow right now. A lot of teams playing chicken, as one of my colleagues wrote this morning. But yeah, another lefty in the pen, and Adrian's been so good that you don't want to just confine him to your, like, one inning or one particular role. That would be something I think the Padres are definitely looking at.
Talking to Dennis Lynn from The Athletic, covering the San Diego Padres, our weekly visit with our Lynn-sider. And you mentioned Dylan Cease. We've been talking about him a lot today, last week, even before. I've kind of come to, at least for my own personal belief, that A.J. Preller would absolutely trade Dylan Cease if he can get what he feels like is a fair or more than fair overpay for Dylan Cease. And I think he would also be okay keeping with him if he does not get what he's asking for. Do you kind of get the same sense that, you know, it's a coin flip now as to whether Dylan Cease is making his last start for the Padres tonight?
Well, I think that's a really good read on the current situation. Could go either way. I think there are a lot of people around the game, including people probably inside the organization, telling H.J., hey, you have to trade him. This is sort of like a mini version of the Juan Soto situation from couple winters ago, you know you're not going to re-sign him. He's a guy who's, you know, kind of in demand right now. There's not that many guys like him on the market. Seth Lugel just signed an extension. Doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. So as far as rentals go, Dylan has a lot of, you know, interest from a lot of teams right now. So I think if AJ can maybe, you know, trade him and fill like multiple needs and get some controllable guys in, that's something he would definitely do. If not, if he doesn't see anything compelling enough out there, I think, you know, he's perfectly fine keeping him. But I think tonight's start's going to have a lot of scouts at it and a lot of interest from just around baseball.
Dennis, how much do you think the financial part of this equation is impacting AJ Preller? I know he's not going to. I don't think he's going to be able to add tons of money with the luxury tax level where they're already at. But do you think it's a driving concern? Like, I mean, as long as he's somewhere around where he started, is it going to be okay? Or do you think there really is a financial pinch that the Padres are looking at very closely here at the trade deadline?
I think it's definitely a huge consideration in all this. Now I have heard, you know, it's still a case-by-case basis. It's not like, you know, he's been told you only have X number of dollars to work with. It's maybe more along the lines of, you know, find a if you're close on a deal, you know, take it to ownership, see what they think, and they'll be open to discussing it. I guess at least you would hope if you're AJ. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. They're currently over the second luxury tax threshold, and I mean, they're spending they're on pace to spend quite a bit of money, even though it's not nearly what it was in 2023. So yeah, and the ownership, we'll see exactly, you know, their desire to spend further, but it's not like I doubt he has, you know, the room to add like $20 million in payroll right now. So, yeah, that's also why you're hearing, you know, guys like Dylan Cease and Robert Suarez's name out there, because this does seem like, even though I said they're not going to be sellers, you know, a situation where they're most likely going to, you know, do a little of buying and selling at the same time.
Dennis, we were talking earlier back to this weekend's games in St. Louis, and Ben and I were talking about everything that went down on Saturday evening, the dust-up with Manny Machado getting hit, and then there was whatever happened with him and John Jay, and I know you and our beloved Katie Wu kind of teamed up and summarized what happened, and Ben made the point of, journalistically, it's asked, it's answered, he doesn't want to talk about it, and I'm ready to move on. I'm kind of more in the camp of like, hey, it played out on the field. We all saw it on the cameras, so there's naturally going to be some interest there. I'm just curious if you followed up at all, if you were able to get any sort of information on what seemingly looked like a good friendship kind of fallen sour here over the last however many years. Just curious what your take was on everything that went down on Saturday night.
Yeah, when something like that happens, and when Manny says something like he did, and I don't think you see many quotes like that in baseball, let alone any professional sport, maybe more like, I don't know, boxing, MMA, that kind of thing. It definitely takes your interest. I haven't divined like exactly what went on there. It seems like it goes beyond a baseball beef, because you remember, and I think it was, 2019, John Jay and Yonder Alonso were trying to get Manny on the White Sox, and obviously, the Padres won that bidding war to get him over to San Diego. But, you know, those guys, the three of them, were very tight. And obviously, Yonder sent out a tweet the other night that I think has since been taking that up down. So it's definitely a talker. So I think, yeah, people are very interested in what went down there. But I think, yeah, that's something that, you know, Manny, who's generally a pretty private person, who does speak his mind at the same time, is going to probably do a good job of, you know, not revealing, but I respect that. I know John Jay said on the record he probably shouldn't have said anything as a coach, because he is a coach now, no longer a player, although it looks like he still play. You know, he's in really good shape. But yeah, I think, you know, that's something that's probably maybe not over, because the Padres and Cardinals have another matchup coming up later this week.
Dennis, before you go, let's talk a little pitching going forward. Regardless of what happens with Dylan Cease here at the trade deadline, Padres are going to need the back end to keep throwing the way they have. And they've gotten really good production out of Randy Vasquez, Steven Kolek, Ryan Burgert over the course of this season. What's the latest? You know, we're hearing about a simulated game today for Michael King. Is that still scheduled? What's his timeline looking like? And how much do you think they can count on guys like Kolek and Burgert now, who haven't done a lot of starting in the big leagues down the stretch in August, September, and maybe even October?
All good questions. King, yeah, is still scheduled for that sim game today. And, you know, if that goes well, I expect maybe another of those. You know, we'll see. I don't know the exact schedule for him, but maybe another of those if that goes well today. And then rehab starter two, and then maybe you could be looking at a, you know, mid-August return or maybe slightly after that, which would be huge either way. So they're very hopeful about, you know, what he could bring, maybe a la Darvish in 2024, late summer. But still, you know, Michael hasn't pitched since May, so it'll be interesting to see how he responds after all this time off and just the adrenaline of pitching in real games. And then, yeah, obviously Darvish, there's still a lot of concern about, you know, what does he have left in that elbow of his? He's going to be 39 soon. That's a major question kind of hanging over the team. But yeah, the backing guys that you mentioned, Kolek, Vasquez, Ryan Burgert could be coming back up to make a start, you know, as soon as tomorrow. I think those guys have handled themselves really well. It's a, you know, credit to, you know, Ruben Yeblin and, you know, Ben Fritz and the, you know, pitching coach staff that they've been able to get so much out of these backing guys. But I think ideally, you know, you'd like to have, you know, Michael King back going really strong and, you know, guys you can really trust in the playoffs, and those backing guys you just can't really trust quite yet in October. So I think, you know, this Michael King simulated game is as big as any sim game in Padres history.
And then did we hear anything about Joe Musgrove's bullpen session? Did that happen, that he was scheduled to do his first real one kind of since Tommy John?
I think that might be taking place this week. I haven't there's been a lot going on, so maybe I'm overlooking it right now, but yeah, either way, I know he's talking about trying to come back for the playoffs in October, but yeah, it's more of a, you know, as long as everything's going well with Joe's recovery, it's more the, I think, significant thing. And I think from all reports, you know, everything's been going well. We'll see about October, but yeah, either he's done that or he's about to.
All right, good stuff, Dennis. As always, glad you're back. Hope you feel better here in better weather in San Diego, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
For sure. Thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, our Linsider, Dennis Lynn. Some good stuff on the Padres' pitching rotation. And, yeah, he kind of agrees with me. Dylan Cease, flip a coin. Heads or tails? Is this it? Is this not it?
I'm just curious how much tonight's outing impacts that.
Well, I don't think it changes the Padres, but it might change another team's opinion of Dylan Cease, which could change what they offer, which could then impact it. So we'll talk more about that coming up. We'll look ahead to this series against the Mets in a Rattle Report next.